credit monitoring, credit scores, all that and more on today's Milenomics Shortcut. Robert, we like to just get right into it on these shortcuts. So, credit monitoring, credit scores, what do we do, what works, what doesn't? You want to go first?
Yeah, it came to my mind. I was applying for a home equity line of credit, and in order to get the process rolling, they gave me my credit score right there on the spot. And he came back and he said, Equifax says your credit score is 730. And he previously asked me what I thought my credit score was, and I confidently said around 800, because all of my checks for my credit score indeed were around 800. So that got me to thinking, what are we doing these days? And what should a beginner in the game be doing for credit monitoring and checking your credit score these days? So that's where the genesis of it came from. And I just thought to check with you. Do you use any of these services anymore? Or did you in the past? Have you relied on them less over time? What's your position on them?
Well, you know, I like what you said there, because there really are two different situations going on, I think. You said, what should a beginner starting out use, and what do we use? And I did. I used to rely heavily on Credit Karma, and I think they're the big name in this space, but pretty much every bank has jumped on the "we'll give you your credit score for free" bandwagon as well since then. You know, they made a big splash, Credit Karma, saying, hey, you know, you'll get your credit score for free, you can check your reports. And they do have reports from two different credit reporting agencies. And it was great, you know, but here's the thing that started to get to me, Robert, and you can tell me if you're in the same boat. You know, when you're first starting out, is your score 650? Is your score 750? That could make a huge difference in how you should approach this game, or if you should approach this game. But, and I've written about this on the blog, I don't see a credit score as a report card. You know, it's not, you should not shoot for 100%. It's not a goal to attain a specific score. For me, it's more of a tool. And maybe that's why I've stopped being so micromanaging of it. And that's for two reasons, actually, because one, when I find out I have an issue would be when I would be declined for a credit card. And two, when I'm declined for a credit card, it's usually not because of my credit score now.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time on the paid show, that there are internal metrics that banks are now using. Things like Chase 524, that's the most well-known of them. But I've chronicled this issue I've had with American Express for now almost a year. I cannot get an approval on one of my accounts for an American Express card. Regardless, doesn't matter if my score is perfect, if I had an 820 or whatever it would be, they still would keep me in that penalty box that they've got me in. And so for me, I have stopped managing it so actively. I do like the credit reporting side of it, because it does tell you if a new account has been opened. I do think that is very important for everyone. But the actual score itself, if it's 780 or 740 or 760, doesn't really matter to me, unless, like, you're in your situation, you're trying to apply for something very specific with a maybe a percentage rate that's tied to your score. So that's my quick 2 minutes on it. What about you?
Well, you said about a report card there. I thought that was interesting, because one of the features of Credit Sesame, I think effectively just like Credit Karma, and I use both of them, is they have a report card there. And to me, that is more beneficial than just knowing my number or just knowing what is going on with, inquiries that are coming in, new accounts and things like that, because it tells me what I need to do to improve my score, to improve my position. And it usually, I think, tells you how important it is, for example, to have the balance that you have on your credit cards be small as a percentage of your overall credit line available. And really what that has shown me over time is, you know, hey, maybe you've let too many statements close with high-ish balances on them relative to their credit line. And it really does ding your score temporarily quite a bit when that happens. And so having a lot of different credit card accounts and balances closing all over the place, it has been helpful in that regard. For example, if Credit Karma, Credit Sesame was accurate in saying, hey, your credit score is a little bit lower than you think it is because you have these three high balances right now, I could have cleared those up before going and applying for something. So I don't know what's going on there in terms of the actual number being different, because I went and checked it with Experian. You can also get a free account from Experian. It'll tell you your FICO score there. And that number was also up at 800. It didn't really affect me too much in terms of the HELOC, and I think my rate is just fine. Or actually, I don't even really care what my rate is so much. It maybe knocked down a tiny bit. I'm probably not going to use the HELOC. It's more of just a safety net. But it was a little disconcerting to see it be a different number. So have you seen that before? Like the difference between, what they call it, a FACO and a FICO or whatever?
FACO and FICO? I was just going to bring that up. Yeah. You know, I think that there is some secret sauce there. Internally, you're getting a score based on what's important for what you're applying for. So, for example, home equity line, they've got some metrics that they're looking at. I mean, everyone has something that's important to them, and they're trying to assign a score to you that encompasses all possible risk and everything that is anything related to giving you a line of credit. So I don't think it'll ever be exactly the same. I've never seen it exactly the same. Sometimes when you apply for a credit card and you don't get it, you know, they'll send you the score that you got in the mail. It never matches what I see elsewhere. So, yeah. You know, 25 points, 30 points, it's all the same in that regard to me once you get above some of those thresholds.
So how do we sum it up? I do think they're a good thing to have, both for beginner and intermediate advanced players. They're free. I don't think, you know, sometimes you look at these things and you think, boy, signing up for these is going to introduce more risk of my credit profile being, you know, taken by somebody else. But I think they're pretty safe things to do. Do you see any downside to signing up for at least one of these services?
I don't. But I mean, you bring up a valid argument, I guess, that detractors would say, hey, you know, you're including your information. You're giving your information to a third party who's then monitoring it. And how secure is that? Well, how secure are the credit reporting agencies? I mean, at some level, it all falls apart when you have that, you know, that mindset. So we've seen leaks from the agencies themselves. I don't think this is any less secure than that. And I think you're right. It's worth having, whether or not, my issue with it is whether or not you're overanalyzing the data that's given to you and maybe even reading too much into it, you know, saying, oh man, my score went down 8 points. I got to figure out why and I got to get that squared away. And yeah. You should really be working on how to do some other things, how to make more miles and points and not worry about the 8 point drop, you know?
I like it. Thanks for joining us this week. For a more in-depth discussion about points and miles, visit us at patreon.com/milenomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more freely about topics like these. This week, we were talking about advanced maneuvers in credit card applications. So check that out if you're interested in hearing more about that.
As always, you can reach us on Twitter. I'm at milenomics and Robert is at Robert Dwyer. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, we'll see you on the site.